Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we're so thankful that you are our God and that you take the broken and you make us whole. And Lord, we're so thankful that you meet us right where we are. But because you love us so very deeply, you will not leave us where we are. You transform us to make us more like Jesus so that the world might look at us and see the light of Christ shining brightly through us. And that's our prayer. Draw us close to Jesus and let us more faithfully proclaim with our thoughts, with our words, and with our deeds that we serve a God who loves us and is willing to make all people whole when they come to him in repentance and faith. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing now as we turn to your word. Speak to our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And if you're in the Red Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 835. But really today, I want to frankly talk about something that is remarkably important to us as the First Baptist Church of Bowling Green, Kentucky, but something that is remarkably important to us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask the question and answer it for you today. What is baptism? Now, I need you to know that we base the call for baptism off of what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 28, looking specifically at verses 18 through 20. Jesus has gathered together his 11 disciples because Judas has betrayed him and turned away, and Judas's life has come to an end. He gathered together his 11 disciples, and he was getting ready to ascend to heaven, and he gave them a job. Everything that he had done with them over the past 3 years, they were now to go and do with others. They were to help others trust and follow Jesus. And so he gave them this commission, Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The central command in this commission is to make disciples. That is the central command that Jesus was giving. You go and do with others, disciples, what I've been doing with you these last 3 years. And as you go and do that with others, train them to make disciples of others and train them to make disciples of still others and on down the line so that 2,000 years later, here we are. That's the way it works. So our call as followers of Jesus is to help others trust and follow Jesus. We're to make them disciples of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, the Bible tells us to go, to baptize, and to teach. Well, we pretty much understand what it means to go. We've got to step out of our comfort zone. And for some of us, that means we get on a plane. And for others of us, that means we realize that life where we are is our mission field. And so we pray the dangerous prayer, "God, use me." We understand what it means to teach. We have done well as the North American church over the last century or so, really inculcating in people the knowledge of Scripture when they gather with us. We do a good job with teaching, and we help them understand everything Jesus has said. But there's been some controversy over baptism. And I want to be honest with you. In fact, this may be the most honest I've ever been with you. I have probably studied over, pored over, and struggled over this doctrine more than any other, really. And I want to tell you why. So come back with me to April 1986, and here in Bowling Green, but in another church, and I was 5 years old. I would turn 6 later in the year, but I was 5 years old. And during the sermon portion of the service, I had to go to the restroom. And after I went to the restroom, I stayed out in the fellowship hall because I didn't much care for listening to the sermon. By the way, don't ever think that just because you don't like listening to the sermon now, God might not make the sermon an integral part of your life at some point in your future. Amen. So I was out in the fellowship hall just kind of waiting, trying to kill some time. And my cousin Kim came to get me. And she said, "Hey, come on, your mom wants you. You're going to get baptized today." Okay. So I went back in because, honestly, I was caught skipping. And at the end of the service, we went forward, and Mom and I were sprinkled there. And it was phenomenal. I mean, the pastor was a pastor that I love so very deeply, in a church full of people that I love so very deeply, in a church that the culture of the church I love so very deeply. He sprinkled water over my head, and really he was talking more to my parents, asking, will you raise this child according to the teachings of the Christian faith? And it was profoundly important in my life and in the life of my family. And, in fact, we had a great aunt who wasn't there that day, so I'm pretty sure we redid it on Tuesday so that she could see it on Tuesday. She was very insistent. I don't know if you've known that can happen. Sometimes you can have relatives who are insistent. So I grow up, and I start to get around Baptists, you Baptists. And one of them at some point along the way said, well, you should probably think about being baptized. And I'm like, well, I've already been baptized. Well, you know, baptism actually really means this. Well, I don't care what you think. I'm good, because this experience happened in a church that I loved, around people that I loved, by a pastor that I loved, at the request of parents that I loved. And so I'm good. Y'all leave me alone. And then God started working, like he does. You know, he does that. God started working on my heart about this particular issue, and it so happened that I had begun to study some of the original language and then just really started to get into, okay, God, what are you saying? And more, God convinced me that what they were saying about what baptism is was correct according to the teaching of the Bible. And it, frankly, it made me mad, if you want to know the truth. Because you really have three choices with anything God's calling you to do. You can deny it. No, I'm just not going to do it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever dug your heels in and just said no? Right? Now, I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church, and I'm confessing to you, there's been more than one time that I've dug my heels and said, Lord, I don't want to. So you can deny it. You can ignore it. Have you ever tried to ignore God? He tends to be persistent. But you can ignore it. You can do your best to ignore it. You can turn away. You can try to get away. Or you can embrace it. Well, I was denying it. And the more I saw the evidence presented in Scripture, I could deny it less and less. So then I turned to trying to just ignore it, because I didn't want to deal with it, because that was in a church I loved, around people that I loved, by a pastor that I loved, a decision made for me by my parents that I loved. And I didn't want to feel like I was renouncing that or renouncing them. Frankly, because I love them, but God kept working. And so my prayer in my distress that turned into anxiousness, that turned into, frankly, anger, anytime I felt like the Lord was stirring that in my spirit, finally got down to, but Lord, what about that church? And what about those people? And what about that pastor? And what about my parents? And y'all, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but there are times when I feel a sense that the Spirit of God is speaking so clearly, and the response I heard was, what about you? What about you? Because ultimately, on the day of judgment, when I give an account for my life, I'm not going to get up there and say, well, Lord, my church. I didn't ask you about your church. Well, Lord, those people. I didn't ask you about those people. Well, Lord, that pastor, I didn't ask you about that pastor. But God, my parents, I didn't ask you about your parents. Tell me about your faith in your life. What about you? And then I got this overwhelming sense that, look, you're not renouncing what your parents decided for you back in that day. I mean, I want you to think about everything that went into that decision. My parents loved me, and their prayer for me was that one day I would grow up and have a robust faith of my own, right? My pastor at that time, his prayer for me is that one day I would grow up and have a robust faith of my own. That church, their prayer for me is that one day I would grow up and have a robust faith of my own. And so it wasn't that I was renouncing them, it was that I was embracing and professing the fulfillment of their prayers. Their prayers came to pass. It's just like when we dedicate a baby. Now, we Baptists dedicate babies all the time. We've got a couple coming up relatively soon. And what are we going to do? We're going to bring those parents up here, and we're going to ask them, are you going to seek to raise this child in a Christian home? Yes. Are you going to seek to teach this child what it means to follow Christ in word and deed? Yes. And then I'll look at you and say, First Baptist Church, will you come alongside these parents and support them in this journey of what it means to raise this child according to the principles of faith found in having a relationship with Jesus Christ? And we will say yes, and then we will pray over that child. But our prayer for that child is that one day he or she will bow his or her knee before Jesus Christ and repent of their sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray that their faith will become their own. And so I just got this overwhelming sense from the Holy Spirit that, look, I'm not asking you to renounce the love of these people and what they did, hoping that one day your faith would become your own. I'm asking you to profess the fulfillment that their prayers came true. And now you're stepping into the water on your own, of your own accord, on your own merit, of your own decision to say, Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life. I trust in Him alone for my salvation. And it was like, wow, okay. But I'll tell you, I haven't struggled over a single decision in my faith. I've not struggled with the inerrancy of Scripture like that. But that was huge. Because why? Because there was an emotional tie for me. It wasn't just some dry doctrine, right? I didn't want to be looking at people that I loved and say, well, I renounce. I wasn't renouncing that. I was fulfilling that. So let me walk you through some of the steps based on the definition of baptism. This is the theme of the message. Baptism is the immersion in water of a believer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to illustrate the believer's faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to illustrate the believer's faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. So 4 points. Number one. The word baptize, which is transliterated from the Greek baptizo, and you can see it right there in your notes or on your YouVersion app, it means to dip, to submerge, or to immerse. That's it. It means to dip, to submerge, or to immerse. It was used in the first century just as meaning dipping, submerging, or immersing. For whatever reason, when it came to this word, they did not translate the meaning when they translated the Bible from the Greek to the other languages and eventually into English. They transliterated it. So the beta became a B, the alpha became an A, and on down the line throughout the word. So that's where we have confusion. They did that with just a few other words. Angel, for example, is angelos, and it means messenger. But we have a lot of confusion over what an angel is and does. Right? And there's nothing about bells ringing at Christmas time where they get their wings. That's not true, all right? An archangel in Greek is an archangelos, a chief messenger. Evangelist, we think sometimes, well, an evangelist is somebody that comes in and does tricks on stage to try to steal our money from us, right? I hope you don't feel that way, but some people have. But what is an evangelist? Well, it's eu angelistes. So angelistes, there's messenger again, and eu is simply good. So an evangelist is a messenger of the good. Evangelism is spreading the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. A deacon, boy, if there's a way to show off how our local church autonomy is expressed in so many different ways as Baptists, just look at what we do with deacons. But the word deacon literally means diakonos, through the dust. A deacon is a servant. That's why at First Baptist Church, our deacons aren't a stuffy board that decides and runs the church. Our deacons are servants. That's what deacons do. They serve. Baptism, baptisma, means dipping, sinking, submerging, immersing. But in each case, confusion ensues. So the meaning of the word is to dip, to submerge, to immerse. So that was the first thing I dealt with. Number two, in the New Testament, only those who had repented of sin and place their personal faith in Jesus Christ were baptized. So you look, for example, in the book of Acts, Peter at Pentecost. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, Philip is proclaiming the gospel in Samaria, and the Bible says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." In Acts 8, 35 and 36, Philip's with the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" Isn't that powerful? In Acts chapter 9, verse 18, Saul, after he had come to know the Lord and Ananias had visited and given him back his sight, says immediately in Acts 9, 18, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. He gives us more detail in Acts chapter 22, verses 12 through 16, where he's sharing his testimony at Jerusalem. Said, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth, for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.'" So Paul came to faith and then was baptized. In Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, a woman named Lydia, who deals in purple goods in Philippi, comes to know the Lord, and then she is baptized. And later in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 33, after Paul and Silas are set free from the prison, but they stay there, the Philippian jailer says to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his home. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. But notice, they went and proclaimed the word to the whole household. And then the whole household came to faith and got into the waters of baptism. And so it's about professing your personal faith in Jesus Christ. Number three. Like a wedding ring symbolizes the covenant union of marriage, baptism symbolizes our union with God through Christ. So every time I officiate a wedding, we'll stand here or somewhere else, and at some point we're going to exchange rings, and they're going to put a wedding band on each other's hands. But that piece of metal doesn't make them married. It symbolizes that they are, right? So I just took my wedding band off. Guess what? I'm still married, honey. I'm sorry. In fact, now we've been at this so long, I've got an indentation here. There's no getting around it, right? Or like a jersey, when a team brings a new player on, they what do? They have a press conference and they hold up that player's jersey. They even do it with coaches. Well, let me ask you a question. Does wearing the jersey put you on the team? No, go to a Titans game. Half the stadium's full of people wearing jerseys. They're not on the team. But for those who are on the team, guess what they're doing? They're wearing the jersey. Why? Because they're not ashamed to be on the team. I wear this because I'm not ashamed of my wife, the fact that I'm married, that my heart belongs to another. Well, in the same way, baptism doesn't literally wash away your sins. That's just BGMU water over there. What washes away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But then you step in the obedience of faith, saying Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Why do we do that? Because Jesus said so. That's really the basic answer. Jesus said so. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And then number four, baptism does not save anyone, but it is an outward symbol of an inward spiritual reality. It is an outward symbol of an inward spiritual reality. So again, that water does not wash away your sin. Those of you who like good music might have heard the song "Pray for the Fish" by Randy Travis. The song "Pray for the Fish" by Randy Travis is about a bad boy getting baptized, all right? And the refrain of the song is, "Pray for the fish, they'll never know what hit him when the sin starts rolling off the likes of him." Well, I like Randy, but he's no theologian, okay? That water does not wash the sin away. Jesus' blood has already washed the sin away as they have repented of their sin and received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But the first step of obedience in following Christ is to simply do what he said. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. What do? Get baptized. Okay. Now, some of you are saying, well, I've already been baptized, so how does this pertain to me? Well, because as you help others trust and follow Jesus, this question is going to come up. And for others of you, you may be exactly where I was. You may be kind of mad that I'm talking about this today. And that's okay. I'm a big boy. But I was mad when other people talked about it too. So I wanted to kind of make this very straightforward. So on the back of your sermon notes, there is a flowchart. And they're going to put it up here on the screen. It's going to be hard to see on the screen, but it's right there in your bulletin. So, first question under should I be baptized is this, and that's right up here at the top. Have you repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your personal Lord and Savior? Now, if your answer to that question is no, you are not a Christian. I don't care what religious rituals you've been through. I don't care what has happened. If you have not repented of your sin personally and placed your personal faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Lord and Savior, then today, by prayer, say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But I believe that you're the Savior. You died on the cross for me. You rose from the grave for me. You're alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I make you my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. If that's you, don't wait. Pray that prayer today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Okay? So, but if the answer is yes, or if the answer, as you can see here, becomes yes today, then the question is, have you been baptized? If the answer is no, you should be baptized. If the answer is yes, the next question is, were you baptized by immersion in water? Because the word means immerse. If the answer is no, I would encourage you to prayerfully consider being baptized. But if the answer is yes, the next question is, after placing your own personal faith in Christ, because again, that water does not wash the sin away. You must trust Jesus. And in Scripture, only those who had placed their personal faith in Jesus then followed in baptism. So if the answer is no, you should be baptized. But if the answer is yes, was that a symbol of your faith? Or like Randy Travis's song, were you hoping that water would be washing away your sin? And sometimes we'll have people come to us say, well, I was baptized a long time ago, but I've sinned since then, and I need to be washed clean again. That's not how it works. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. His blood washes you clean. Your forgiveness is rooted in Christ, not in water. But if it wasn't a symbol of your faith, then I would recommend that you prayerfully consider being baptized. And if the answer is yes, is that because you personally decided to be baptized? In other words, it wasn't my friends deciding for me, my Sunday school teacher deciding for me, my preacher deciding for me, my parents deciding for me, my sibling deciding for me, the pressure of all my buddies are doing it, so I want to do it too, deciding for me. But it was personally because I personally made the decision to follow Jesus Christ in the obedience of biblical baptism. So if the answer to all those questions is yes, you can see you're good. Help others trust and follow Jesus, and now you are better equipped to help answer their questions about baptism. But if the answer to any of those is no, then I would invite you to prayerfully consider being baptized. Now, I didn't address probably what was my biggest hindrance, because I'm prideful. Anybody in here prideful? I'm prideful. I'll just go ahead and tell you. And my biggest question was, what will people think? I mean, at the time, I was like, I was wrestling with the call to ministry. I was, you know, embracing God. What do you want next? Well, what will people think? I thought he was a mature Christian. Why is he doing this now? Can I tell you, that was the enemy's greatest tool in my life. What will people think? Do you know what people will think? Praise God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. This is wonderful. You've been following Christ for decades, and you believe now, you've become convinced and convicted that this is what the Lord wants of you, and you're following in that obedience. Praise God. They're not going to be out there judging you and saying, well, I always knew there was something wrong. That's not it. Because can I tell you, from the pastor's perspective, we all have our stuff. We all do. And I have never walked with anybody into the waters of baptism and then walked out and have them say, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Every single time, it is, I praise God that I overcame all of the blocks that Satan threw in my way and decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow the Lord in biblical baptism. I'm going to do it. And well, you saw in the video, the joy that ensues. Because why? Because there's always joy when you obey the Lord. May not be happiness all the time, but there's joy in knowing that the Spirit of God has called you to do something, and you, motivated and moved by the Spirit, have submitted yourself to the work of the Spirit and done exactly what God was calling you to do. So, we're going to have a time of response, and if God wants you to come forward right now, I'm going to invite you to come forward. But next Sunday, we're joining with Southern Baptist churches all around the world and having a baptism Sunday. After the service, our buddy Joe is going to be baptized. He came to know the Lord this week. Praise God, Joe. We can't wait. But the deaf ministry's got something. Yeah, amen. But the deaf ministry is having a special service next week, and then as soon as that service is over, they're coming down here at the end of our service, and we're going to baptize Joe. There's room in the water for you. We would love to baptize you if the Lord is leading you to this. We will even baptize you at Vespers. So during the service, after the service, at Vespers, whatever. But I would just encourage you, listen, again, I used to get mad about it because honestly, I got mad about it because the Lord was working with me on it. And how many of you ever get mad when the Lord's calling you out and it's like, whew. Well, so we're going to have a time of response, and you're going to be able to respond two ways. You can come forward now and we can talk about it and we can make that happen. Or as soon as the service is over, you can come talk to me privately up front, or Pastor David and some of our ministerial staff will be out in the narthex at a table called Next Steps. And you can talk to them about it then, okay? So we're going to have a time response. The Lord wants you to come forward. You come forward now, or you can wait till after the service and talk to one of us privately. We're good with that. But if God's calling you to move, there's blessing in moving. Will you stand with me? Father, as we come now to a time of response, I pray just for clarity. I remember all the emotions that I had surrounding this, and am thoroughly sympathetic with anybody who's dealing with the same emotions. I just pray that you, through your Spirit, would speak very clearly in this moment of time, and that you would lead us to do whatever it is you want, and that you, by your Spirit, would give us the boldness to obey. And so, Lord, if there's anyone in this room who has yet to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or maybe they just did a minute ago, and they need to tell others about that, bring them forward, Lord. If there's anybody who's ready to be baptized, to profess their own faith in their own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, bring them forward. Or for a baptized believer who's ready to join our church, may they come. And Lord, maybe it's that during this song, they will hear from you and say, you know what, I'm going to go talk to the preacher or a member of the staff, either up front or at the narthex afterwards. And that's great too. But Lord, I pray that you would stir in us whatever you would have from us. And for anybody who's wrestling with, am I renouncing what my parents lovingly decided for me back then? May they hear from your Spirit unequivocally, no. They're not renouncing anything. They're affirming the fulfillment of everything that they were prayed about for. And so, Lord, we just ask your blessing now as we sing. Give us the boldness to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if God is calling you to come forward, you come on up, and we'll be glad to celebrate.